Today we're going to read from the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for your journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. So they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick.
Hey, good morning, friends. My name is Dave, and I'm on the pastoral team here, and happy to be leading us along today in our Gospel of Luke series, Luke chapter 9. I've mentioned before that Julie and I and our family have spent time in Southern California. We have family there, and we make our way there as best we can. Typically, a visit to Southern California involves finding an attraction or two. And certainly Disneyland comes to my mind when I think about attractions in Anaheim, California. Disneyland's a great place. It tries to be magical, and in some ways it delivers. While walking Main Street and around the park, it's hard not to get caught up in the themes and imaginations of castles, kings, queens, beautiful princess dresses, and the vivid stories of those who fight for the saving of their kingdom. This fantasy, it's fantasy, and it invites us to engage the narrative, being caught up in the fight against evil for the sake of preserving the good kingdom. Well, today, beyond the likes of Disney fantasy, there have been and are real true stories over the years about some very same things. Certainly when you open the Old Testament, and certainly as you consider the modern era, there is the sightings of evil kingdoms being fought by good kingdoms. I suppose today, in Luke chapter 9, we're seeing a bit of just that. Here, Jesus moving his disciples from the ones that are being taught about the good kingdom, God's kingdom, towards being those who are sent out to be teaching about this good kingdom. Perhaps moving from the classroom to the common space where they would participate, active participants in the activity and the influence of this good kingdom, Jesus calling it the kingdom of God. It's worded this way in Luke chapter 9, verse 2. Then Jesus sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. As a church, we've been in the Gospel of Luke series for quite some time. So how did the disciples get to Luke chapter 9, where they find themselves being sent out with such important and necessary responsibilities? Well, in summary, perhaps in the first 8 chapters, these disciples have been hearing Jesus teach the good news about the kingdom. It's worded this way, Luke chapter 4, verse 43. But Jesus replied, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent. In Luke chapter 8, verse 1, soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. So, Luke chapter 1 to 7, the disciples are hearing the teaching, they're listening, their hearing. And then in Luke chapter 8, the chapter that we've been in the last 3 weeks previous to now, Jesus has been illustrating what the kingdom of God coming to earth actually looks like and feels like. Let me mention three of those that we've heard the last 3 weeks. The kingdom of God having authority over the elements. Kirsten showed us that. Jesus calming the storm within the hearts and minds of his disciples by calming a prevailing storm while they were sailing on the sea. The last 2 weeks, Luke has taught us so well. The kingdom of God having authority over evil, illustrated through Jesus calming the possessed man by delivering him from demons. This is no fairy tale story. This is real hard life. Bad situation turning to good because of the deliverance of the demonic. Kingdom life. And then, of course, last week, Luke, such good teaching, reminding us that Jesus has authority over prevailing human sickness and human death and all end-of-life matters. So again, chapters 1 to 7, Jesus teaching. Chapter 8, Jesus illustrating what it's like when the kingdom of God breaks through into the ordinary lives of ordinary people. So in some ways, Luke chapter 1 to 8, Jesus, this is who I am. And then we pick up in chapter 9 where Jesus is saying, okay, well, that's who I am. This is who you are. You are sent ones. You have been taught. You have witnessed so much. Now go and be witnesses. Again, worded this way, verse 2. Go tell everyone about the kingdom of God and heal the sick. It's no wonder that earlier Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And in the midst of course, the Lord's Prayer, these perhaps familiar words where Jesus says, I want you to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. How does this translate into our prayer life today? I would honestly say that my prayers are more associated to Jesus' teaching, but more aligned to Jesus, give me my daily bread and deliver me from evil and temptation. But friends, imagine us praying and imagine us experiencing regularly an answer to the prayer, God, may your kingdom come on earth. Can you imagine that prayer fulfilled, that prayer answered? It would naturally, as you can imagine, create conflict, absolute conflict, because the world that we live in is far from looking or acting like the kingdom of God. I mean, imagine, think about it, just with me for a moment, the world that you know and that I know. Can you imagine that world being under the rule of Christ? Wow. And benefiting from this theocracy or this rule of Christ. Think about your neighborhood. Think about your life. Think about your family. Think about your work, friends. Think about our country and our world. Everything would change, quite literally. And so Jesus sends his disciples out to talk and to tell people about the kingdom of God, knowing that that message in answer to prayer creates contrast and conflict. But don't you think, friends, that this is what we need? Don't you think that this is what our neighbor needs, our country needs, our world needs? To find itself returning continually to that place of the rule and reign of the kingdom of God. Wow, I believe that. I believe the pursuit of the answering of that prayer. For Jesus prophesied, hey, when I come and when my kingdom fully comes, I will restore a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because the present earth the world systems do not have the rule of God. So all things must be restored. That's the hope of the gospel. That's what Jesus is sending in Luke chapter 9, his disciples out to get involved in that change. So what does it mean to talk about the kingdom of God? I offer three words. I offer the word dwelling, dominion, and domain. Let me explain briefly. The kingdom of God is about dwelling. God with us. God dwelling with us now, and God dwelling with us forever. That's always been the heart of God and the desire of God. You think back to the beginnings, the Garden of Eden. God with us. God's instruction of building the tabernacle and the more formal, permanent temple in the Old Testament. God with us. We think about Jesus, Emmanuel, coming through the incarnation. It's God with us. We think about in Acts chapter 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's about God with us. Think about the second coming of Christ. It's God with us forever. God has always had this plan, this redemptive plan. And he has a redemptive plan for the physical world that we live in as well, that the heavens and all the earth and all the people that are on the earth would know this restoration of intended purpose. So the kingdom of God is about dwelling. Secondly, the kingdom of God is about dominion. When a person becomes a follower of Christ, they are brought into a new dominion, a new kingdom, and they begin to walk with a unique calling. And again, this has always been the case. Adam and Eve having dominion through the Garden of Eden and on the earth. Instruction again for Israel to build a temple and a tabernacle. It was about a holy people occupying space and having a dominion. God's people, Jesus coming to earth through death, resurrection, having a dominion, as we heard in these last 3 weeks, a dominion over elements, evil, and end of life matters. And of course, the disciples, full of the Holy Spirit, having dominion and being sent out, as our text says today, towards every tribe, tongue, and nation, bringing kingdom life, bringing order to chaos, and bringing light to darkness. Man, think of the dominion of the kingdom of God. So needed. So necessary. That's why Jesus in Luke chapter 9, verse 2 says, Hey friends, you're sent ones. Go tell everyone about the kingdom of God and heal the sick. See, learning to talk about someone else's dominion and someone else's kingdom was hard for the disciples. And quite honestly, I think it's hard for us to talk about someone else all the time. And of course, not at the despair of our own relationship with Christ and care, but of course, with a focus and a clarity about this dominion, which is a dominion of God, the kingdom of God. Perhaps that is why, in order to get his disciples focused on the task at hand, Jesus strips them down a bit. He told them to travel light, which is the title of this message. Verse 3 and 4, take nothing for your journey, Jesus said. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. Why would Jesus, when he is sending them out as witnesses, restrict them so much or remove the familiar? Well, think about it. Don't take your stick or your staff. Perhaps that would be that which represents people's potential to personally secure their safety. It's a walking stick, protector. Don't take your traveler's bag. Perhaps this is about a person's belongings, our stuff, our clothes, the stuff we feel we need to secure our individuality and our comfort. Jesus says, don't take any money. Perhaps that which represents the securing of our future, giving us options, allowing for personal control and independence. Jesus said, don't take any food. Perhaps this represents the securing of our health. Regardless, Jesus was saying, travel light. And when you travel light, you're better positioned to carry the calling and responsibility that Jesus had for them, and that was to be witnesses of a new kingdom and to heal the sick. So again, the kingdom of God is about dwelling, it's about dominion, and lastly, it's about dynasty. Members of this kingdom, Christians, are part of a distinct family with a distinct calling. And they become part of a dynasty, a kingdom that is not of this world. Jesus often said through his gospels, disciples, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. Yes, enjoy the world, partake, enjoy the pleasure and benefit, but it's not your long-term home. So rather carry a larger, more articulated vision for what earth means and what eternal life means to you. So you can't talk about the gospel and you can't talk about the kingdom without talking about eternity, because the gospel and the kingdom of God points us in a direction that has a finality to it. It's called eternal life. Romans 8 verse 17 says, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. So this dynasty is all about a people, and it's all about the heavens and the earth declaring the glory of God. It's always been the heart of God to have a people and a place for his glory. It's always been the case. The Garden of Eden, the Old Testament tabernacle and temple, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ coming, and Jesus sending witnesses into the world, the promise of the second coming. It's all about a people and a place for God's ultimate permanent glory. So to help with traveling light, Jesus says, hold loosely to your stuff and hold tightly to him. Hold tightly to Jesus. Hold tightly to your calling. Hold tightly to your dynasty and your destiny. Well, friends, I want us to be encouraged today. Be encouraged. For we see the evidence of the rule and reign of Christ within the world today. We really do. We see it in people's lives. I'm sure that you see it from time to time in your own life, or perhaps in the lives of those closest to you. Flashes of the reign and rule of Christ. And I know it excites you. I know it excites me. I think of recent stories of baptisms, the one that was shown on Church at Home a little while ago. And I'm thinking personally of the baptism I participated in the Fraser River just a few weeks ago. The stories of God breaking into people's lives, changing, creating rule and reign. Wow, the benefit, the good benefit. I think of the evidence of the kingdom of God through our recent donations to Yemen, providing some relief to a food crisis in a country that needs such help. I think about the gift bags that are presently being prepared through Helping Hands. The offering of a bit of life. Perhaps take a tired person, a fatigued person, and offering a bit of hope through an exchange of life and change of gift. The Fraser Valley Correctional Institute. I think about our life groups that meet week after week. Man, the evidence of God breaking through as we pray for people and care for people. The kingdom of God breaking through, being answers to our prayer. God, may your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But while we see some evidence, we do carry in our heart this concern for that which is still broken. And so we continue to pray, God, may your kingdom come, because the work is not done, the pain is still great, and the brokenness is still so, so very evident. God, we pray your kingdom. We pray that you would come and dwell. We pray that you would have dominion, and we pray that your dynasty would fill our hearts and minds and our neighborhoods. Well, we're ending We're moving to the end of November, and we're beginning to hear Reuben talk about his Christmas socks. I don't know if you were part of Church at Home last week. Wow, here we go. It's often thought of as the most wonderful time of the year. Well, for me, I believe truly in that. What I also know for myself is that this time of year, American football is at its heightened peak, more than halfway through the season, and we're headed towards playoffs. And as a football fan, it's the most wonderful time of the year. I can get lost in a football game. I've played football, so I can easily get lost in a football game. I think of the time when the offensive team on the field gathers in a huddle, and I know what happens in that huddle. Someone shares a singular play, releasing when the huddle breaks for everybody to take their spot on the field with an assignment. And typically, most plays involve an individual player's assignment to go find someone and to meet them for a specific responsibility and opportunity. It's football. I enjoy the strategy. I enjoy the game. In some ways, Luke chapter 9, in some ways, this is kind of what's happening. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 says, Jesus gathered 12 disciples together, and he said, I am sending you out. Called them for a huddle. He said, break. And with that break came a responsibility for each one to go find another with a specific responsibility. Go tell them. When you break from this huddle, you've been taught. You've been witnessed as you've trained for this. Break. Get out of the huddle and get going towards the destiny that I have for you, which is to go and find the one. Take your place in the life of the other. Take your place on the field with the other. Go tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. And heal them. And help them. This is important, friends. This is important this year. This is important for us today. Jesus said again two things. He says, go help people. Go find the one. Friends, we can't help everybody. And certainly, even with COVID restrictions, we are more limited than ever to what our playground looks like. Oh, but boy, we can find the one. We can find the one. Help them. What does it mean? It means to help improve the quality of life for others. Help people extend their life. Have faith to help people have a better day and a better life. It's important for people to receive care and to do it in a way that gives God glory. So we participate actively in relief and improving people's quality of life, leading people to understand Jesus' good care for them as well. But as Luke said last week, this healing and help is so temporary. It's necessary, but it's temporary. That's why in behind this comes the message, the kingdom of God is at hand. Tell them that the kingdom of God is already, but not yet. Tell them about the heart of God, which is to help them today, but also to provide relief for all of their tomorrows. Tell them about the day that Jesus' kingdom will come in its entirety. No elements or storms, no evil, no sickness, no end of life stuff that's messy. Friends, the world is messy and it's not a good mess. So we live to provide relief, but we also live to point people to the best day ever that's still coming when Jesus says, my kingdom will fully come on earth and it will be such a good day for everybody. Friends, this continues to be a year like no other, 100%. There's nothing to compare this to, so we don't try. Disappointment runs through our narrative, frustration, pain, curiosities, disappointment. It's life in COVID, it seems, and it seems to continue to be hard. So we long for healing. We long for relief of COVID. We long for a vaccine. I don't know what you're longing for, but I know that we're longing for a better day ahead. But friends, as we long for a better day now, let us also long for the ultimate greatest day that's ahead, which is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, where his kingdom will come and all that is happening on earth will change, and it will be all so much for the better. This world's messy. It's messed. It's messy, and it's not a good mess. So we do what we can today, but we live well in light of the hope of tomorrow. We pray, Christ be magnified in me. Christ be magnified, be glorified through all that is happening on earth today and all that is awaiting us for all eternity.